You know, Pastor Bill had said a long time ago, first the natural and then the spiritual. And as I was seeking the Lord regarding this morning, there's a term that's being spoken throughout this country for the last 2 years. And the Lord gave it to him and he goes, yeah, it's a worldly term, but it's true for the body of Christ, and we need to be aware of it, and we need to not be deceived by it. And the title and the two words that he gave me is fake news. Amen. Fake news. Now then, you all know that I like acronyms. And some of the stations that have been attributed to fake news are CNN, NBC, MSNBC, CBS. And CNN stands for, these are the words the Lord gave me, cross-neglected news. No one wants to preach the cross anymore. NBC, not Bible-centered. CBN is Christ-based news. That's what CBN is. They give you the Christian perspective. MSNBC. Many scriptures, no biblical context. CBS. Compromised biblical salvation. Now, why fake news? There's a lot of things that are being taught and preached that do not line up with this book. If it doesn't line up with this book, it's fake. It's false. Now, go over to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4, verse 1. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. See, we have good news. We have the good news. But are we hiding it? It says in verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believeth not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have a purpose. We are to bring forth the light of this gospel to a lost and dying world. I want you to turn over to Revelations chapter 12. And I want to read why. Verse 9. This is why. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out of the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. What was he cast out for? And what's his purpose? His purpose is to deceive the whole world. How does he deceive you and I? With false news. With fake news. How do I know that? Because that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. He said, did God really say? How many of you sitting here this morning or listening over the internet are hearing those same words now? You're standing and believing God for something. And you're hearing this little voice go, did God really say? Is that what his book really says? You're hearing that voice because he's wanting to deceive you. He's wanting you not to believe what God's word said. God's word is true. It does not return void. It accomplishes what it was sent forth to do. And we either believe it or we don't. Yeah, we're going to get tested. Our faith is going to get tested. But God always keeps covenant. God never fails in keeping his covenant with you and I. But I challenge you, I don't think we believe that. I don't think we believe it. And we need to believe it. Go to Romans 1:16. I got notes all over the place, so I don't know where I'm going. And I know I'm not following the outline because you didn't give me one. Romans, what did I say? 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. To every man that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Do we know how to present the gospel? If someone asks you, what's the gospel? What do you say? Good news. What does that mean? You watch Fox or CBN, that's good news? What does good news mean? What's that? The truth about Jesus. Okay, those all sound good. But is that what Jesus said? Is that what Jesus said and Paul said the gospel is? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. No, chapter 11. We'll get there. We're not there yet. Second Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to me to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Three things here that are involved in fake news. Another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. And you know what? I don't think Paul made a mistake when he put them in that order. He first says another Jesus. Because there's only one way to God. And see, that's what people are saying. You talk to people in the world, well, I'm a good person. I know the Lord. I'm fine. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there's only one way, and that's Jesus. There's not many ways. There's only one way. There's only one mediator between man and God. That's the truth. Everything else is fake news. It doesn't line up. But yet, people right now, as we sit in here this morning, are taking their last breath, and their heart's taking their last beat, and they believe. All you got to do is turn on the news. Someone passes away. Oh, they're going to join so-and-so in heaven. It's not a scripture and verse for that. There's only one way that you get to spend an eternity with God, and that's through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. We got to stop believing the lies, and we got to stop believing the deception. Because you got to understand one thing. It says right here, the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Brothers and sisters, you have enough word in you, and you are too spiritually smart because of the word that's in you to be deceived by the obvious that Satan would throw at you. But you got to understand one thing. He's not coming at you that way. He's coming at those little subtle things that he gets you to believe and contrary to God's word. How are you and I different than Jesus? When Jesus was led into the wilderness, it was the subtlety of Satan to cause him to be deceived. It will be a subtle twist of God's word. And we have to be careful when we're talking to other people. Because they may say something that sounds right. But what is the spirit behind it? Or is it just slightly twisted? We have to be aware of that. We have to be aware of that. Because Satan's only purpose is to deceive the world. That's his purpose. And the world includes those that are saved and those that are unsaved, so he doesn't care. He wants to deceive you. He wants to deceive me. Go over to 1 Corinthians. Because see, a lot of people accuse Paul of sometimes not preaching the true gospel. Because Paul talks about the gospel, but when you compare what he talked about and what he says, because we're going to look at that in a second. Let me not get ahead of myself, Lord. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. So what does this gospel do? Leads to salvation. The true gospel leads to salvation. It says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. See, we've had a lot of word preached to us in this body. And it's been the uncompromised word. And you know why you have the uncompromised word in you? For the times in which we're living in right now, because you are running across on a daily basis those people that have no clue what this word says. They're crossing your path every day. And they're not crossing your path so you can go, "Oh, I know a lot more word than they do." No, that's not the purpose. If that's the purpose, you're deceived in your thinking. Your purpose is to share that which has been planted in you with the truth of God's word so they too can have the same freedom. So they too can have the same understanding. That's our purpose of this truth of God's word. In verse 3 it says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures." He didn't die according to their sins, according to some man's opinion. He died according to the Scriptures. "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And after that he was seen of 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." And then he goes down to verse 11. He says, "Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and ye believe. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain. And your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witness of God." Interesting. If we don't believe what Paul just said here, we're going to preach a false Christ. We're going to preach a false salvation. Because Jesus did die for our sins. He was buried, and he did rise again. He's not in the tomb. He's in this room. He's in this room. The risen Savior is in this room. And see, there's so much compromise that's going on today. There's so much entertainment going on today. There's so much fluff going on today. We've gotten away from what this book says. Jesus didn't have programs. Paul didn't have programs. Paul didn't have seven steps. Paul didn't have games. Paul didn't have apps. He had the living Word of God inside of him that was burning, that was saying, "I have to take this gospel to a lost and dying world." That's what was burning in him. So he's talking about the gospel. He's talking about that he died according to our sins, according to the Scriptures. That he was buried and he rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. He's not basing that upon his opinion. He's basing that upon, "Thus saith the Word of God." See, too many times we want to argue this gospel. We don't need to argue this gospel. But you know what we do that's wrong? We don't allow the lost to know the bad news. They think they're all right. They think everything's Peachy Keen. Think back when you got saved. I know when I got saved, I didn't have a handle on anything. That was bad news. I was young. I'm like, this is it? But see, I would have never been open to the good news if I didn't know my life was a mess. And that's like that one evangelism thing that Pastor Mark shared with us with John Hagee. What does he do? What does he do when he's leading, when he's sharing the gospel? He opens up God's Word. He has him read God's Word. Then he shuts up and asks him, what does that say to you? See, unless this Word convicts you and convicts me, because here's the other thing about the fake news. Just come to Jesus and everything will be okay. Invite Jesus into your heart. Do a lot of unsaved people have any clue what that just said? They have no idea what you just said. I was looking at some different commentaries. And this one person was witnessing to a 8-year-old young girl. And the person used the favorite line. Just give Jesus your heart. And she looked at the person and said, well, if I give him my heart, I'll die. See, we've got terms that we use that the people we're coming across every day have no clue. She was thinking she actually had to give her heart to Jesus. But see, sometimes I think we don't fully explain, or we're in too big of a hurry not to explain this gospel. This is good news. Ladies, if you go shopping and you run across a great deal, you have no problem sitting down and you don't care how long it takes to talk to someone about the great deal and where you got it at. And men, we do the same thing. But when it comes to this gospel, we're in too big of a hurry to explain what it means. We just want someone to pick up our religious vocabulary. But see, go to Matthew 4:23. I'm going to put a little twist in what I'm talking about. So we just read that Paul talked about the gospel being, what, three things? He died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again. Is that the gospel? No, that's the message. That's the message. That's the message that Jesus brought when he came to this earth. Because what did Jesus preach? Go to Matthew chapter 4. Yeah, he did, but not yet. And Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Whoa, whoa, wait a second. The gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Go to 9:35. Stay in the same book. Go to Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing was taking place. Go to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah. Chapter 9. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It says, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus was preaching the government that was upon his shoulders. He was preaching everything that he was bringing to this earth. He was their deliverer. He was their healer. He was a great I am. He was a wonderful one. He was a counselor. He was the all-sufficient one. We don't give the full gospel sometimes. Yes, they need to get saved. Yes, they need to know that God loves them. But there's more to it. There's more to it that God wants to do with you and I. He doesn't want us just to get saved. He doesn't want us just to come to church and sit here and be entertained and think this is a country club. That's not what he wants. But a lot of that is going on as we speak right now. People are being entertained and they're sitting there like they're in a country club. I thank God for Pastor Bill and Eleonora and their uncompromised stand. I thank God for Pastor Mark and Christine because they've taken that mantle and are continuing that uncompromised stand. You're not going to get dessert. You're going to get the meat of God's Word. For one reason. We still have a lot in us that needs to be uprooted and moved out. We haven't arrived yet. And see, we got to be careful. We got to be careful when we have all this Word that we don't get pompous. And we don't think, well, Christian Service Center is better than this place. No, Christian Service Center has a specific call in ministry. And you know what that call in ministry was? To make disciples. That was the call that Pastor Bill had, to make disciples. He just wanted to teach people how to make disciples. He didn't want to be a pastor. The Lord had different plans. But stay in Matthew, go to 24:14. See, this is a common thing. Jesus preached Matthew 24:14. I'm going to read verse 13. But he says, he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. I could go off on that one, but I'm not. Because if it's once saved, always saved, why do you have to endure until the end? It's just a question. I'm just throwing it out there. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Once again, Jesus is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And people say, well, Paul didn't do that. Yeah, he did. Paul preached the gospel of the kingdom also. Let me go to Acts. Let me find this here. And then I'll tell you where to go. Because see, there is no confusion and there is no thing in God's word where one thing is said and it doesn't line up with the other. God always confirms his word. He never fails to. Okay, let me go back to that one. Go to Acts chapter 19. Thank you, Lord. It says, Paul's talking here, and he says in verse 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Go over to chapter 20. See, here's Paul. Verse 25. Now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face. Go back to Acts 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So see, Paul preached what Jesus preached, the gospel of the kingdom. That's what he preached. He preached the kingdom of God. He preached the kingdom of God. What do we know about the kingdom of God? Well, in the passage I'm going to read it before I go to read what I'm about to read. In chapter 20, in verse 25, which I just read, it says, now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Paul's saying you're not going to see my face anymore. Okay? But now then, we all know this scripture. I've read it many times. I know it by heart. But I saw something I never saw before. Go to John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How are we able to see the kingdom of God? How are we able to understand this gospel of the kingdom? Goes back to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. We have to understand the death. We got to go back and understand that he died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again. Because That's how we become born again. We become born again because we understand that, number one, we're a sinner. Everyone has to acknowledge that they're a sinner. There's no excuse. I'm a good person. I say 15 Hail Marys a day. It doesn't get it, people. But yet, those are subtle ways the enemy wants to deceive us and to rob that which we have in us and not share the good news with other people. The good news. Not the fake stuff. Some of the fake stuff that we believe. God doesn't heal anymore. Baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't for today. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And you know what? I was told that fake news when I first got saved. I was told the baptism of the Holy Spirit wasn't for today. And God is awesome. You want to know why? Because I believed it. Until I was in a church with my wife, and the Spirit of God was moving mightily, and she's standing next to me, and God baptizes her with the Holy Ghost, and she starts speaking with tongues, and I'm saying to myself, someone's lying here. And that little still voice goes, it's not me. It was that man of God who had told me that it passed away. That wasn't truth. That was false news. But we got to be careful of fake news and false news, because just a little bit of that seed going into our heart can rob us of the things that God has for us. But because I was seeking and desiring more of God, God said, no, I'm going to show you otherwise. I'm going to show you the real truth regarding this subject. So when I hear someone say to me, well, it's not for today, they spoke that to the wrong person. Because I can take them through the scriptures, but the thing that's more powerful a lot of times is sharing how God revealed to me the truth of His Word. Testimony. And then they don't have anything to say. Because they cannot convince me otherwise that I didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. Because I did and still do. Where are we, Lord? Okay, when Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he was talking about dying to our sins, that Jesus died for our sins, that He was buried and He rose again. Go over to Romans chapter 6. Was Jesus buried? Was He buried? Well, let's see. John 6, starting in verse 4. It says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. That's the truth. That right there is the truth. He did die. He did take the sins of the world upon him. Why? Because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. What was God's plan for creation? His plan for creation was to have a relationship with you and I. That's his whole plan. He wants to fellowship. He wants to communicate. He wants to talk to you and I. But that got disrupted because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. So this plan that God has, which he wasn't caught off guard by, was to restore a relationship with you and him. We've all seen the illustration where we have the cross, horizontal, and the vertical. His arms were outstretched. His feet were nailed to that cross. He took every sin that you and I could possibly think of or do. He did that for one reason. He wanted you and I to be able to have our relationship restored with his Father. Yeah, Jesus is the name above all names. Yes, Jesus is important. But Jesus did it all for one reason. So you could have the same relationship with his Father that he had with his Father. See, that's the truth of the gospel. See, the other fake news out there is Jesus is your pal. You can talk to him about whatever you want. But see, what was the first message that Jesus preached? Let's go to Matthew. This isn't very common today either. People don't want to hear this. Go to Matthew chapter 4. The first message that Jesus preached, verse 17. From the time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent. Just acknowledge, you know, you've had a tough life. No, repent. Repent requires an action. It requires you and I to take and turn and go in a different direction. When I got saved, I was on a fast lane to hell. And when this word started to get in me, and I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't like this word. Initially, because Christian Service Center was sending my wife and I the marathon training courses. And my spirit and flesh man didn't like what I was hearing. You want to know why? Because I had other kingdoms in my heart that needed to be torn down. And they weren't of God. And every time that pure word would come in and it would start to shake that kingdom that wasn't of God, there was a little battle I didn't like. But you know what? The kingdom of God, the true kingdom of God, rules and reigns over all those other kingdoms in your heart and my heart that don't belong there. And brothers and sisters, if you have kingdoms in your heart that are not of God, you need to pray and ask God to uproot them and break them and crush them and get rid of them. Because they're going to rob you from having the fullness of what God wants for you. Because they're always going to raise up their ugly heads against the truth of God's Word. Not some of the time, all the time. Because my flesh man and spirit man didn't like it. But you know what? The more you listen to it, the more of God's pure Word that went in, the more you go, whew, that's not of God. Whew, that's not of God. And His manifestation starts to arise in your heart. It has to. We read in Romans 1:16-17. I'm just going to turn to it real quick. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth. To everyone that believeth. What does it mean to believe? What's the definition of believe? What's that?
Obey.
Yeah, sounds good. His word. Sounds good.
Listen.
What's that?
Listen.
That sounds good.
Believe on life.
Believe on life. That all sounds. Okay. That all sounds good.
Accept something as a fact.
Okay.
To trust.
Those are all good answers. But what does the word believe in the Greek say? Trust in, rely upon, cling to, adhere to. That's what believe means. All those other things, they're byproducts. Thank you, Elnora. They're all byproducts. If you really believe that God's Word is true, you're clinging to it, you're relying upon it, you're adhering to it, you're stuck to it. See, a lot of people say they believe. But that's because believe is a flippant word that we use that's so common that we really don't know what it means. But when you change what the Greek says, and that's why Pastor Mark, that's why we have NBC. Not biblical context. Okay? That's why Pastor Mark is constantly teaching us and admonishing us to know what God's Word says. And when I first got saved, the most important thing that I learned, because I learned it here at the Christian Service Center, was lexicon and concordances. You start looking up these words and you go, oh, I thought I knew what that meant. I had no clue what it meant. Because when you look at the language in which this was written, whether it be Hebrew, Chaldean, or the Greek, and you start looking at what that word actually means, you're not going to be deceived by fake news. You're going to know the truth of God's Word. And I've said this many times before. How do you know it's fake? How do you know something's fake? Because you know the truth? You'll never know something's fake unless you've experienced the real. If you know the real truth and the real aspect of God's Word, you will not be deceived. What do con artists do? Con give you something that looks similar to the real to deceive you and lead you astray. You think Satan does anything different? No. He's not better at it. He's the same stupid person he was 2,000 years ago. He's using the same things. He's using the same ploys. We haven't gotten smarter. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life. He deceives us with that. If you don't believe me, when you're driving home, look at the billboards that you see on the highway. It's all about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's the same thing he deceived Adam and Eve with in the Garden of Eden. He hasn't changed. So now I ask the question, why haven't we gotten smarter? Because you know what? We're still being deceived by that. We're still getting deceived by the lust of our eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Hasn't changed. I'm not trying to be mean here this morning. I'm just trying to be honest on where we at and where we need to go and what we need to do to examine ourselves. Because if we look and act just like the world, how are we going to stand out? How are we going to be a place that people want to come to? See, I like it when we have new visitors. And you talk to them a week later when they come back. What'd you like? This place is different. I've never heard the word like that. I've never been hugged so many times. There's this one lady that has gray hair that goes around hugging everybody. Praise God. Okay? But we should be different. We should be a light that's seen. We should not be a gospel that's hid. I shared when we got down to the intercessory this morning. Back in 1979. No, 78. There was a church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, that the Spirit of God began to move so mightily that the local neighbors and the people in the vicinity of the church thought it was on fire and called the police, called the fire department, and called the EMS and said, "The church is burning down." They arrived at the church. The only thing that was burning was the fire of the Holy Ghost, and that's what they were seeing in the natural. Praise and worship was going forth so mightily that all they were seeing was the fire of God. That's what we're striving for. But see, we can't reach that, and we can't obtain it if we don't believe the truth of God's word. And in order to do that, we got to stop believing all the fake stuff. We got to stop believing all the lies. Well, God cares for so and so, but he's not going to heal me. He's not going to meet my needs. Those are lies. Those are lies. You know, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That is a process. Just because you don't get instant healing, that's a miracle. But if you get someone lay hands on you, you are in a recovery process. Believe God and stand on the recovery process. That's the good news. God heard your prayers. God is answering your prayers. But the enemy wants to whisper in that ear, that spiritual ear, and goes, "God doesn't really love you. He loved you before the foundation of this world. He first loved you before you even knew anything about His love. Has that changed? Has that changed? What kind of answer is that? Has that changed? Okay, sounds a little bit more convincing. Before it was like, no wonder we're having trouble. Because for some reason that first response was like, yeah, I guess he's changed. Well, I don't know. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. He's not going to change. He's not going to break covenant. Here's another false gospel that's out there. No one preaches the cross anymore. What did Jesus say? Take up your cross and follow me. What is the cross? Death. It's death. That's what the cross led to. It led to the death of Jesus Christ. But it also led to His burial. It also led to His resurrection. So here we are. We're right back to the gospel. But see, we have to take up our cross. David works, and I'm standing here right now, and I'm hearing a message in my spirit. He goes, you will not hear the blood of Jesus taught. People don't want to preach the blood of Jesus. Well, you had to have the cross, then you had to have the shed blood. Those are things that still need to be taught today. You know why the fake news is so popular? Any idea why the fake news is so popular? It's not because Trump said it has nothing to do with Trump. What's that? It's what we want to hear. Okay? That's part of it. If you start preaching the full gospel, it may step on someone's toes that gives a nice tithe or contributes to nice building programs, and it touches their heart and the kingdom in their heart that's not right, and they go, that's enough. I don't want to hear that. Boom, out the door. Let them go. Pray for them. Pray for them. There's a prosperity message out there that's not of God. And a lot of times, the reason people don't want to preach what Pastor Bill and Pastor Mark are preaching, because people are not comfortable sitting and hearing it. They want to be entertained. They want their flesh man to be appeased. This Bible should stir up your flesh man. It should cause your flesh man to get uneasy. And it should cause your spirit man to want more. I want more, Lord. Go deeper, Lord. Cleanse deeper, Lord. I always remember Pastor Bill. Do you know how to tell whether the worship that is going on is in the flesh or the spirit? You know how? Pastor Bill and his Ozarks. He goes, it's real simple. You can go to any church and you can walk in at any time during praise and worship. And if you see this derriere moving and swaying, the same as you would see it in a nightclub, I will guarantee you it's ministering to the flesh. He goes, I don't care what words are being sung. The music, the tempo, and the beat behind it is causing the flesh to rise up. When the music and the praise and worship is that which is pleasing unto the Lord, it will cause the hands to be lifted up. Amen. It will cause the name of Jesus to be exalted. You go, scripture and verse. That was something that the Lord showed Pastor Bill, and I'll tell you what. He shared that with Sue and I don't know how many years ago, probably 25 years ago. Go ahead, try it. The Spirit of God is right when it comes to that. Because you'll see that derriere moving the same as you do when you were unsaved and in nightclubs or wherever else you went. It's the same movement, same gyrations. See, this book, the unfake news, the good news, it says you're going to take up your cross, you're going to say goodbye to your friends and the world, and your flesh is going to stink and smell. But that's okay. Go to Luke 14. This has nothing to do with my notes this morning. Whew. Lord knows I spent a lot of time, but you know what? It doesn't matter. Luke 14:27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. This church is about making disciples. But you know what? You can't be made into a disciple unless you're willing to take up your cross. Unless you're willing to die. Go to Galatians chapter 6. See, we should all be able to say this. Verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. That's the only way we're not going to be deceived by the fake news. That's the only way we're not going to be deceived by the subtleties of Satan. And it's the only way that we're not going to glory in thinking we have arrived. Because you know what? When you think you're arrived and you're carrying that cross, it's going to get heavier. It's going to reveal more of the old man that needs to die. Because there's only one that gets the glory. There's only one that gets the praise. But he says, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom what is crucified? The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So, if that's true, does the world have an influence upon you and me? Oh, yeah. It can be good, and it can be bad. It can be edifying to the Lord. It can be non-edifying to the Lord. But see, the cross, you know, when you kneel down at this cross, It doesn't make any difference who you are. Everything's level at the cross. Everything is level at the foot of the cross. There's not one sin greater than another. There's not one problem greater than another. It's at the cross. And what's the song? At the cross is where I what? First saw the light. Burden of my heart rolled away. See, it's the fake news wants us to get away from the things that Jesus taught that are still essential. Wants us to get away from the cross. Wants us to get away from the blood. Wants to get us away from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And people are still getting deceived. They're still being led astray. Why is that? I asked the Lord that early this morning. Probably about 4:15 this morning, I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, why the fake news? Why are your people being deceived? His answer was real simple. They don't want to die to the cross. And then I said, okay, I understand, Lord. And then it reminded me, I heard Pastor Bill's words. He goes, because they like to carry their dung bags. Brothers and sisters, we sometimes like to carry around the crap that God doesn't want us to carry around. Excuse my language, but that's what it is. It's crap in God's eyes. And we're walking around smelling like cow manure. Everyone else can smell it, and we're going, wow, fresh country air. It's not fresh country air. Those things need to be laid at the cross. And we have to know. We have to know. Pastor Mark has really been talking about we have to know the truth of God's Word. We have to know the Scriptures in context. He's been pounding that in us. There's a reason He's pounding that in us. Because the people that God is going to send across your path and my path have a form of godliness, but there's no power. And I'm reminded, walking the streets of New York City, before Times Square Church there, walking around that area where they're at praying. And there was a homeless man on the church, sitting on the thing. And I went over and I says, sir, you okay? I'm fine. I said, anyone told you about Jesus? And he started quoting scriptures. I mean, word for word. I'm like, whoa, I stood there. He goes, I know the word better than you do, don't I? I said, well. He goes, Satan does too. So I would suggest you get in the word. That shook me. I never have forgot it. Because, I mean, for 2 or 3 minutes, he was just going, whew. He was given the whole salvation message. He was given the whole scriptures on baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was going through everything. And I was like, wow. But he didn't want to hear anything. He didn't want me to talk about Jesus whatsoever. As soon as I mentioned the name Jesus, oof, It was like the horde of hell was looking at me. Yeah, devil knows Scripture. The devil knows Scripture, but brothers and sisters, he knows Scripture, but he'll never give it to you the way it's written. That's why Jesus, when he was in the wilderness, came back at him and said, Satan was quoting Scripture. But Jesus says, no. Let me remind you. It is written. He just called him out for his fake news and said, no, that's not correct. But see, we haven't got, what's that word, Karen? Chutzpah? Yeah, okay. We've lost that somewhere along the line. When it comes to not accepting all this fake and lying stuff that's out there, and then not being bold enough to want to share the truth that we have within us to those who are lost. I'm speaking to myself. I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to myself. The only thing I can tell you is you get a little bit older, you realize, you know what? They can like me or not like me. But if they're lost, they need to know God's truth. Because you know what? Are you going to stick around or not going to stick around? Heavenly Father, we live in a world, Father, that the enemy is wanting to deceive your children. It's never with the obvious, Lord. It's with the subtle things. But those subtle things are just a little twisted. They're just a little off. It's still false, Lord. It's still fake. It's not real. Lord, you need to help us to be more discerning. You need to help us to discern every spirit. You need to help us examine the fruit of those who say that they're a brother in the Lord. I pray that they truly are, but if I really don't know them, Lord, I have to watch their fruit. I have to determine by their fruit whether they're really walking according to the truth of your word. That's not being judgmental, Lord. That's just being scriptural, because that's what your scripture says we're to do. Lord, so help us. Help us to be more discerning. Help us to teach and to preach those things according to your word, because your word will accomplish what it was sent forth to do. And it is your desire that none should perish. It is your desire that all should come to the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. But Lord, they're not going to get there with a watered-down gospel. They're not going to get there with half-truth. They're not going to get there with truth that appeases their flesh. Lord, they need to get there with the truth that will shake the foundations and the kingdoms of their heart that were not planted there by you. And they would cry out to you, show me those kingdoms in my heart, Lord, that need to be brought down. Show me those areas of my heart that need to be uprooted. Show me those areas that I'm not completely walking in according to your truth, Father. Because, Lord, we want to know you. We want to know you. We want to know you in the death and resurrection of this fleshly body. So, Father, I just thank you for each and every one of my brothers and sisters here this morning. I thank you for the word that you gave me. Lord, I thank you for allowing me to be obedient to what you told me to speak. And Lord, I thank you for knowing that it landed on the fertile soil of my heart and it landed on the fertile soil of my brother's and sister's heart. And they will accomplish what you desire to accomplish for one reason, that you might be lifted up, that you might receive all glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.